Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Intuit Credit Karma.
Oh, the Celtics, they handed out a beatdown for the record books, and it got us asking, could they be one of the all-time great teams? We discuss. Plus, the Dubs, they were not the only team to get a wake-up call. Find out which squad out west has the loudest alarm bells going off after this weekend. And LeBron James, he is the sole member of the 40,000-point club. We've got two of his former teammates here to look back at this milestone. All that and more. NBA Today starts right now. Hi, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Intuit Credit Karma. She is our senior writer, Ramona Shelburne. Look who is back in the studio with us. He's the three-time champion, Danny
Green Ranger.
Is in the building, the lone Green Ranger. And then, of course, joining us fresh off of his flight, I do not know how he does it, NBA champion Kendrick Perkins is here. Perk, we all know that you were on the last Celtic squad to bring a title to Boston, but I don't know. Your 08 team, they never had a win quite like the one we saw yesterday. The beatdown in Beantown, as we are calling it. The Celtics hosting the Warriors. Danny, it was Jason Tatum celebrating his 26th birthday on this one. Jaylen Brown, though, he started off in the zone.
Well, I think it's pretty easy to get in the zone when you're not being guarded the way you're normally being guarded. So they're sagging him. I thought this was an interesting take. I would have
insulting.
Did something different, and obviously he took advantage. So
kind. I would have done something different. Yeah, well, Brown had 19 points in the first quarter, 5 of 9 from 3. The Celtics, they were rolling, Ramona. It just wasn't a good night for Steph Curry, who came into the night questionable with that knee inflammation, that knee soreness, and just never really found his shot.
The reason why the Warriors believe they have a chance to win is because they still have Steph Curry, but he was not Steph Curry the way we know him last
night. Well, it was a better night, though, for Jason Tatum. That's what happens. A little birthday magic drives, makes a tough layoff
only
there.
26.
26 again.
Come on.
I know. Jason Tatum steps back, nails the three. The Celtics led by 44 at half, the largest halftime lead since the Mavericks' 50-point lead back in 2020. Jaylen Brown throws it down. No wonder he's already named Player of the Week. Here's Jason Tatum with the Queen, Cassidy Hubbard.
Did you think it was going to be this big of a win where you guys led by at least 50 points for most of the game?
No, I didn't. But, you know, I just like the way we came out. I think just our attention to detail, how connected we were on the defensive end. We played real physical tonight, and that was big for us.
I don't take a lot of threes for the most part throughout the season because we got enough of that. I get to the paint, and I usually open it up for everybody else. But if you want to dare me to shoot, we can do that too. You know what I mean? I thought it was a little disrespectful.
So during their 11-game win streak, the Celtics have now outscored opponents by 243 points. That is the best scoring differential over an 11-game stretch by any team in NBA history. So this comes after the Celtics recorded their third 50-point win of the season on Sunday over the Warriors. That's the most 50-point victories by any team ever in NBA history. We got a whole lot of history the Celtics are cooking up. They're now outscoring opponents by over 11 points per game, on pace to be the fifth best scoring differential in NBA history. And since the merger, only the 96 Bulls, the 17 Warriors, have been better. I do not think that it is hyperbole to say this might be the most dominant 11-game streak we have ever seen. Ever in the history of the game. We just contextualized it with all the stats. But Perk, what are the chances that Boston is putting together one of the greatest regular season teams of all time? And does that matter?
It does matter because they established it at the crib. And so when you think about it, Boston, the Celtics has made Boston a dangerous place to play in the playoffs. And I can't express how much it means to get home court advantage, okay? We saw that with the Denver Nuggets last year. But here's the thing about the Celtics, right? It's simple. It's championship or it's bust when it comes down to this group. This group right here, when especially that starting five with Kristaps Porzingis in it, is very, very dangerous. And you have to pick your poison. And I think it's going to solely come down to Kristaps Porzingis if the Celtics are able to reach their levels of winning the championship. He has to be healthy for the long haul.
Yeah, I agree. I think home court advantage is important. I just don't think it matters that much regular season. I can't.
What the Celtics are doing right now.
What the Celtics are doing right now. So we've seen this team or somewhat similar of this team in the past 5 years, last 3 years. They went to the finals. They were well. They just weren't mature. So I can't put them in the same category as the Bulls team or the Warriors team until they win a championship or until they show that maturity.
Right.
And a lot of that comes down to, in the playoffs, when the game slows down, coaching. I do like Joe Mazzulla, but I would like to see how he adjusts and how he changes this playoff season and what he does. So I do like the way they're playing. It does matter, but to me, until you win a championship, I can't put you as a historian.
I'm going to be that girl too, Danny. I mean, because, like, to me, like, when you have success early, Jason Tatum is 26. Mm-hmm. Like, we forget how many. Every time you talk to Jason Tatum, he reminds you. Hey, you know, we went to the Eastern Conference Finals when they were just barely in the league. They had so much success early on.
Yeah.
With him and Jaylen Brown. They've been to the Eastern Conference Finals. They've been to the finals. They haven't gotten across the finish line yet. But when you have all that success early, people don't want to hear that you're still young. People don't want to hear why you haven't won yet. They just want to see you win. And right now, I mean, I'm an MVP voter. We're all starting to look at that MVP race. Jason Tatum should be at the top of that MVP mountain, right? He's the best player on the best team in the league. And yet we still talk about him as, like, maybe the third or fourth, right, best in that race, at Jokic and maybe Shea and some of the other players,
right.
Luka. But why don't we talk about him as the MVP frontrunner? Because they haven't won yet.
Right.
Because they've been there so many times and they haven't gotten across the finish line. And he would tell you the same thing.
Yeah, but doesn't Jason Tatum, he would be the first person to say that. He would be the first person to say that I know that we haven't gotten there and I would rather be a champion right now than an MVP. Not to say that I don't want all of that to come together, but he sees the steps that it takes. It really feels like he's taken a leap in maturity since that story that you wrote, Ramona, after the 2022 finals, when he literally shut himself away in a room knowing that he was not the best player on the floor, that he was outplayed, outclassed on the court by Steph Curry. And that plagued at him. That ate at him. And so I'm not saying that I'm putting everything into, a beatdown of a Golden State Warriors team that we're going to get into in a minute. In fact, the game that I'm circling is on Thursday when the Nuggets are in town.
Yep.
And that is going to tell me a whole lot.
Because when you watch the league this year, when I saw the Celtics up close in person, I go, that's the best team in the league.
Right.
That's the most talented team in the league. They 100%. Should win it this year. And then you watch Denver, you go, we got to hold off on Denver. But the Celtics this year, like, they have the team. They just have to get across the finish line. And I think games like that, those are measuring stick games.
Yes, and the maturity is going to say a lot. Well, how much they've matured when it comes to that postseason.
Right.
And not only the players, but Joe Mazzulla. Last year, they had no business losing to Miami the way they did. This year, they have some tough teams in the East that they're going to face, but in order for them to beat a Denver, they're going to need that maturity. Also, I do not like the fact that they lack depth on the bench.
Mm.
Their defensive depth, they all come off the bench. They have Hauser, Pritchard, good scorers, shooters.
Right.
Cornette, good rim protector. But defensively, I'm not so confident in their bench.
We all know rotations shrink in the playoffs, but you have to get there. You have to get there healthy in order to get over that mountaintop. I do want to talk a little bit about the Golden State Warriors because it's actually been the Celtics and the Warriors that have been the two best teams since February 1st in the NBA. But the Warriors' big three, Steph, Clay, Draymond, they combined to score just 16 points, their fewest in the 532 regular season and playoff games the trio has started together in their careers. The 52-point loss is also the third largest in Warriors history. The worst with the big three all playing. Let's take a listen to what Steve Kerr had to say about it.
Well, a break here or there, and that game was ours. But, this stuff happens.
What was the decision, or when did you guys decide that Steph, Clay, and Draymond weren't going to return to the game?
It was either when they went up 42 at late first quarter or 56 early second quarter, somewhere in that range. You try different things. You have to pick your matchups. You know, we wanted Draymond to be able to help on drives and make sure that we weren't giving up easy stuff.
Let's just
Let's do a Steven Craft. That's us flushing that result down the toilet. The 50-point loss aside, there are more teams that have a better record than the Dubs than ones that don't, right? So, Perk, are we just looking at a below-average Golden State team here?
No, no, not at all. I wouldn't say that. They're a good team. They're just in a good conference, in a great conference. So, you know, it's not going to get it. You got to look at the list of great teams and good teams that are in the West. Every team that's in the playoffs or in the play-in are above 500. So when I think about the Warriors, I'm looking at them and I'm saying, you know what? That was a stomp down and that was a statement game by the Boston Celtics. But they right. They should just move on because they've been playing some inspiring basketball. Steve Kerr has found his niche, you know, the mix of the youth and the old. And I think he's finding his rotations. And they've been playing well. Steph Curry's been balling. So I would not call them a below average team. They're actually a good team in a great conference.
I think it was Steph Curry earlier this year that called them average.
Yeah, I would call them, for Golden State Warriors standards, I would say they're below average.
Okay.
But like Perk said, they've been playing really good basketball late. But with Andrew Wiggins being out, Pazinski being out, Steph is getting older. I think we take for granted how great players are at this age. He's been doing it so well early in the season. LeBron James, obviously, inspiration to everybody, even the older players. You know, Steph has been great for so long, it's hard to see him have a tough stretch. So with this team, they just haven't been the same since last year. With CP coming back from injury, Klay coming off the bench, Steph, what's that, getting older, legs getting not under him, having some bad shooting nights. For a Golden State standard, this is a below-average team. But like Perk said, they are a good team still, and I think they can turn it around.
Not if you ask them. I mean, literally all season long, when you ask the Warriors how you feel about your team, they always say, you know, we think we can still win it. We still think this team, as currently constructed, if we get everybody healthy, if we find the right rotations, they think they have enough talent. They think they have the depth, the talent. They think they have that same kind of strength and numbers that those great Warriors teams of old have had. They just clearly they were not healthy. And clearly when Steph goes 0-for-9, you get off on the wrong foot. You just, it's a boat race.
A 50-point game is not where the concern for the Golden State Warriors lie. When they're missing Pajemski, when they're missing Andrew Wiggins, when they're down two starters, that's in Boston, the best home team in the NBA. We have a couple of very good games this week. I mentioned one of them, but Wednesday, Milwaukee Bucks, Golden State Warriors. Who are the Golden State Warriors? Who are the Milwaukee Bucks? We could learn a whole lot about both of those two franchises, their aspirations, their ceilings, what they're going for in that game on ESPN on Wednesday. All right, we have a jam-packed show. We got a lot to get to, my friends. The Knicks, they are now down four starters. But before Stephen A. freaks out, never fear, Ramona Shelburne is here, and she has an update on Jalen Brunson as their season hangs in the balance of their health. Plus, Luka is racking up stats, but the Mavs defense, see what happened, Danny? I mean, they got roasted again. Will their one-sided play keep them out of playoff contention? And why Perk is ready to call the 10th place Lakers a first-round favorite in the playoffs?
Oh, Perk.
Oh, we got to hear this. That's next on NBA Today.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by Intuit Credit Karma. Everything you need to outsmart the system and reach your financial goals.
Where has time gone? There's under 6 weeks left of the regular season, and questions about how the playoff picture will shake out are bountiful. So let's go coast to coast. We're going to start in Cleveland. That's where Jalen Brunson, unfortunately, he had to be helped off of the floor after suffering a knee injury on the Knicks' opening possession of the game. New York was still able to get the win, but Ramona, how concerned is this team? They may be down yet another all-star moving forward.
This was the talk of the league last night when it happened. Everyone thought non-contact injury. Yep. Feared the worst, but I think they're breathing a sigh of relief in New York. Doesn't appear to be all that serious.
Okay, that is very, very good news. Next stop, Dallas, where Luka Doncic became the fourth player in NBA history to record three straight 30-point triple-doubles. So that's the good news. The bad news is the Mavs dropped two of those three games. So, Perk, are you starting to doubt that Luka can get this done by himself?
No, I'm not. I never doubt Luka. I'd be crazy for that. But I am concerned about the others, especially Kyrie Irving. It seemed like in this span, he's been struggling, and he hasn't been aggressive.
Let's head to Minnesota, where the Wolves squandered a 16-point lead to the Clippers thanks to some questionable decisions late, despite having a top-five record. The Wolves, they ranked 22nd in clutch-time offense. Danny, how glaring are the Wolves' late-game issues here?
Yeah, this is very glaring. This is not good. Since December 19th, I think they're 7-11 in clutch-time, fourth quarter. In the playoffs, this is where games are won, so you have to make sure you're executing and maturing during this time of the game.
Last stop. Beep, beep. This is where the train is pulling up to Phoenix. Nice outfit, Shea.
Always a nice outfit.
It is. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, some nice plays too, Danny, for this Thunder's team that's really trying to establish themselves as a force to be reckoned with, not just a regular season Cinderella story.
Yeah, they're getting out and running. They're very young, fresh legs after All-Star break. And they're showing that they're a team to take seriously.
Top the Western Conference standings after this one.
They built a sizable lead here over the Phoenix Suns. Kevin Durant elevates, tough bucket, gets it to go. Suns, they cut the lead to 15 after the free throw. On to the fourth quarter. This is where things got good. The Suns down one. Some good ball movement here from the Phoenix Suns. Royce O'Neal finds Eric Gordon for the three-point shot. First lead since the first quarter for the Suns, up two at this point. Just over 6 minutes to go in the game. Now the Thunder down 103-101. SGA dribbles through the defense. Tough fadeaway jump
time.
Ties the game there. And the next Thunder possession, same score. Jalen Williams drives, lays it in. J-Dub has been great this season. Thunder back up in front. SGA a little going to work. Step back. Hits the jumper.
One on three.
5 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. The Thunder, they get the win. So let's take a look at the West standings here, which are still a little bit bunched up, both at the top with the top 4 seeds separated by 2.5 games. And then in the middle, 5 through 8 separated by just 2 games there. Perk, what team, when you're looking at the Mavs, when you're looking about at the Timberwolves, when you're looking at all these teams, the Suns, had maybe the most alarming weekend, the most alarming loss?
Yes, it's the Suns, for sure. I mean, just think, you know, Devin Booker went down for injury. We don't know how long that's going to take. Hopefully, he'll be back pretty soon. But they lost to the Rockets, and then last night to the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you look around the West, we can look at every single team that are in the playoffs and in the play-in tournament, and we could say, they are playing playoff basketball right now. We can't say the same about the Phoenix Suns. Here we are time and time again talking about who are they and what is their identity.
Right.
They don't even know. And it goes back to my point of leadership, Malika. Leadership. Mm.
Well, you asked about Devin Booker. I saw him last night after the game. He did not have much of a limp going on with that ankle injury. And I think the initial fears, like, it didn't look good when he got injured. I think there was a lot of fear about how serious that would be. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a long one in terms of games missed. But they can't afford to miss any games.
No,
I mean, they've been playing better defense. They've been starting to develop an identity. I think last night we should point out Yusuf Nurkic, franchise record, 31 rebounds.
Woo-hoo.
Hope you had him on your fantasy team. But this team had just been starting to get their players healthy and back, developing an identity, and they have a brutal schedule coming up. As Book said to me, I'll be all right, but is all right a week? Is all right 2 weeks? They need him now.
Yeah, I don't like it because they haven't had enough time with their big three before going into the playoffs, and these next couple weeks are a good test for the playoffs coming up. And not having Book, we don't know how long it's going to be, but Brad coming back, he had a good game last night. But said, I don't like the fact that they haven't spent enough time together before going into this playoff
And they're sitting there seventh in the standing.
Yeah. And they have
play-in tournament.
Most difficult remaining schedule of
15 of the next 30 days on the road.
Yeah, that's incredibly difficult, Perk.
Yeah, it's real. It's going to be crucial. And again, Malik, I'm not trying to be petty right now with Kevin Durant.
Promise?
But that's when I go back to the
I'm not sure I believe
to
you.
The leadership part. Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it's like, who is going to be that voice? Right now, they need that voice. You could tell in watching their body language just last night. Anytime you want to know if Kevin Durant has signs of frustration, whether that's with itself or the team, just watch his body language. He's going to show it on the floor. So I just think with the Phoenix Suns, they got to have that coming to Jesus meeting right now, and they have to have that identity meeting, because too many guys play too freely on their team and not within themselves.
Well,
as far as their role.
It's hard when you don't have Devin Booker and when you don't have
Kevin Durant.
When you're trying to organize the offense without those two guys being in and out of the lineup, it seems like Kevin Durant's leadership is his playing style. That's how he sets the tone. And I understand, Perk, you're saying maybe it needs to be a little bit more forceful, a little bit more vocal at this point, but it's hard not to watch what Kevin Durant does for this team and not, I would imagine, as his teammate, feel a fire lit inside of you. And I think that is the way that he leads. It's the way that we've seen him lead in the past, and I imagine the way that we're going to see him lead going forward. We have an excellent NBA Wednesday doubleheader for you guys here on ESPN. It starts in H-Town, the Rockets hosting Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. That's at 7:30 Eastern. Then, Ramona, I'm excited for this one.
Love when these teams play.
Giannis, the Bucks, they begin a four-game West Coast swing against Steph and the Warriors. Our coverage tips with NBA Countdown. That's at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the app. Coming up on NBA Today, we're going to relive some incredible moments of LeBron's 40,000th point night with an exclusive behind-the-scenes all-access look never seen before. And Victor Wembanyama, we're running out of adjectives. He continues his historic rookie campaign. Is it just a matter of time before he takes over as the best player in the NBA?
Yes.
Plus, LeBron's 40K, Caitlin Clark's record-setting night as well. And not to mention all of these incredible plays. We're going to play a little this or that highlights you must see. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Intuit Credit Karma.
I know how to put the ball in the hole, that's for sure. But the scoring has never been the part of my game that defined me.
If I score 2 points and we win a ball game, I'm excited and I'm happy.
The youngest player to score this many points or to do that.
Scoring the basketball is not the most important thing to me. It's about winning.
The youngest player to reach 5,000. The youngest ever to reach 10,000 career points.
15,000 points. The youngest with 20,000 career points.
All hailing the king, 25-10.
Youngest ever to 30,000. The kid from Akron rewrites the history book once again.
35,000.
LeBron James, the NBA's all-time leading scorer.
39,000.
A whole bunch of points.
Embrace it, appreciate it, and don't take it for granted.
There it is, 40,000.
You know, so many great scores since the beginning of time, and being the first player to do something that's always pretty cool.
Have you ever wondered what 40,000 points looks like? Well, here you go. 21 years, 14,670 made shots, 2,381 from three, 8,296 from the free throw line, All in all, 1,632 points more than the next closest player. Those are the totals that LeBron James has put together. And the way that he's still playing, it's not even close to where he's going to end up. And consider this, right? If Luka Doncic somehow, some way, played 82 games a year and maintained his career scoring average, 28 points a night, he wouldn't exceed 40,000 points until 2037. That's 19 seasons into his career. Just think about that. That's the reason why this Saturday's Lakers-Nuggets game was a celebration in Los Angeles, despite the final score. And we have a behind-the-scenes look that has not been seen before.
Here in Los Angeles, everybody in the building expecting to see another milestone in the extraordinary career of LeBron James.
The 40,000 career point mark.
It's a little bit bigger deal than I thought it would be, I see. But take the good when the good happens. And that's all that matters. You just live in the moment.
James has said that reaching the 40,000 point scoring mark with all of the great players that have played in this league, for him to be able to do something that has never been done before, it absolutely means something.
What a matchup tonight. We have two of the greatest who've ever played the game. They've got multiple MVPs, championship pedigree, and this season playing at a level to add to their Hall of Fame resumes.
They're going to stop you. You're going to
eat. No.
Oh!
To LeBron, down the middle, powers up, foul in a bucket.
James hits that one, now too shy of 40,000. A lot of the fans standing up. They have their camera phones ready to take a shot of this. James against Porter, drives, spins, gets inside. It's good. It's 40,000 for LeBron James. The NBA's all-time leading scorer with another milestone as the legend of LeBron continues to grow. And here's the standing ovation for LeBron James. Someone who has pushed this game forward over and over. Not just his impact on the game, but the league and the next generation.
It's been absolutely brilliant to sustain excellence over 21 seasons.
Well, I got 40,000 today.
You only got a couple hundred on.
That's it. Hey, we're like 75.
James reaches milestone. Now for the Lakers, it's all about getting a win.
Let's go, Blue. Let's go. Together, one, two, three.
Four on the shot clock. Jokic going to have to put it up. Falling away, it's up. Shot, he banks it in. Another circus shot from Nikola Jokic. He has their last 13 points all tied up at 89. Two future Hall of Famers going at it in a very important game. Reeves to James. James powers inside, banks it home. Oh, what a shot from LeBron James.
He laid that in backwards over his head. Lakers by two.
They double. You better shoot it. AG works behind, all right?
Jokic backs in, flips it up. Oh, what a pass, and Gordon throws it down, and a foul. His decision-making is just sheer brilliance.
Savant. This is what we call a basketball savant.
Yeah, that's going to do it. The Denver Nuggets remain perfect since the All-Star break, as Denver starting to show that championship medal. LeBron James had his moment early. Much respect for the two future Hall of Famers. James passed the 40,000 career point mark. But the Lakers' four-game home winning streak comes to an end.
I mean, the main thing is always the main thing, and that's the win. And I hate it that it had to happen in a defeat. But when the 40,000 point mark hit, definitely looked at my wife and looked at my daughter and my mom, and my daughter just clapping and pumping her arms up in the air. So that was a super cool moment. So I enjoyed every moment tonight.
March 2nd, 2024, the first player ever to score 40,000 points. It's pretty cool, man.
Moving forward, every time LeBron James scores a basket, it's just going to put him farther and farther, create more and more distance between himself and the legends that came before him. Danny, when you look at LeBron's scoring total, what stands out to you the most?
Just the longevity. He's been doing this for so long. You can't give the guy enough flowers or enough credit for what he's done and how long he's done it. And so a guy like myself, as a role player, I have to do extra to be in the league, to stay in the league. You don't see superstars do that. For him to put in that type of work, that type of ethic, have that type of work ethic from start to finish. I remember my rookie year, him being the first one in the gym, last one to leave, speaks volumes with his God-given talent, his IQ, how he watches film, how he takes care of his body. Those things are the formula for somebody being great and said you just never thought he'd be doing for 20 years.
I mean, the longevity obviously jumps out to me. That's number one on the list.
Yep.
But also his evolution as a scorer. I mean, there were times like when he played the Spurs in the finals, they did not guard him. We show those highlights of the Warriors not guarding Jaylen Brown. That's what the Spurs would do to LeBron early
crazy
in his career.
To think that.
And now he's hitting threes all the time. Like
he wasn't known as a scorer.
No, he was not. And then his evolution in the post when he went to the Miami Heat and he learned to play down there and dominate from down there. And now in his – and you thought, okay, athletically, could he maintain his level at this age? Yes. And yes, he can't. Like, he used to be kind of a downhill player.
Right.
And he's just evolved to have such a complete offensive game, even at this age and stage in his career.
Both of you guys have mentioned longevity. And I know when – have you ever gone into a GOAT debate with someone and by the end the other person agreed with you if you were on two different sides? Have you ever walked out debating someone and you're like, no, you know what, you're right. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. But it's just that – time and time again, as time goes on, Kendrick, when does sustained excellence and longevity start to become more a part of the conversation?
Well, it's going to continue. And also, Malika, the pressure. But, you know, when you talk about the longevity, like Danny was saying, it started when he was, you know, actually 16, right? Like his journey. But when I think about Bron and I think about him not being labeled a scorer, right? And he never wanted to be labeled as just a scorer, and that's okay. But the fact that he did it within the team concept, like no one could ever say LeBron James forced shots. Matter of fact, we actually wanted him to take more shots than he actually did at times. So when you look at the combination of the way that he played the game of basketball with being one of the most unselfish superstars to ever play the game, though, that's what's more impressive to me about the 40K.
He's already 17 points past the 40K club, a club that only he has the velvet ropes being pulled back for. But knowing LeBron, he is already on to the next game because the Lakers, they host the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Los Angeles is actually 2-1 against the Thunder so far this season. I was a little surprised when I looked that up this morning. And LA has a 17% chance to face the Thunder in the first round of the playoffs. That is their highest chance to face any opponent, according to ESPN Analytics. That is, of course, if they make the playoffs. They only have a 47% chance to do just that. But if we do get the Lakers, we do get the Thunder in a matchup, who are you taking in the seven-game series, Danny Green?
This is a tough one for OKC. For them to be so high on the list and have a welcome of the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round, I'm going to have to go with the Los Angeles Lakers. Just the experience with Anthony Davis staying healthy, being healthy, I think OKC lacks size on the inside.
It's really their one big weakness.
With the rebounding, that's where the weakness is. You've seen they give up 31 rebounds to Nurkic. I can see AD and Bron, bigger guards, Cam Reddish, Torian Prince, those guys having a field day on the offensive glass. So I'm going to give the edge to the Los Angeles Lakers because it's just a tough matchup. But if OKC can continue to push the pace and keep their youth, they give themselves a chance with home court advantage.
If that's who they play... Yeah. I'm going to say the Lakers, too.
Wow.
You're right. That's like if you're the Thunder and you
Thunder
end up with the Lakers.
Taking some
oh, my God.
Notes
I know.
Right now.
And I believe in the Thunder, too. Material. Like, I just watched them. They are a good, great young team.
Yep.
I think Shai should be in that MVP conversation. Chet should be in the
rookie.
Like, but that is a terrible matchup for them. Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they want that's a very difficult matchup. I think on the perimeter, if the Thunder can get out and run, if they hit their three-point shots, they'll win the series. But in the playoffs, when things slow down and the pace slows down, that's going to be a tough matchup for them, especially inside with LeBron and AD.
Perk, are you going to make it unanimous?
I'm not. I'm going with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, okay. If you'd have caught me a couple months ago, if you'd have caught me a couple months ago, I would have went with the Lakers. But this SGA that we're watching right now, for us being one of the guys that I could trust going into this postseason, to take over any given series. And then it's the growth for me for Jalen Williams, right? This guy's becoming a certified number two. He has increased. He should be in the most improved conversation. But when I think about the Oklahoma City Thunder and where they at right now, I see a team that's clicking, a team that's in the film room, a team that got each other back.
Yeah.
And I would have to go with the Oklahoma City Thunder over the Lakers.
Around the league, there's a lot of experienced team that are in that play-in, barely out of the play-in positioning that are thinking, okay, we kind of want to get OKC. And I'm not so sure that many teams should be feeling that confident against this young squad. Yes, their interior defense is a little bit of a weak spot for them, but OKC, I don't think they got next. I think OKC might have now. You can tip off your weekend with our next ESPN NBA Friday doubleheader. We have a Wednesday one as well. But on Friday, Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs, they host Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves. That's at 7:30 Eastern. Giannis and the Bucks, they continue their West Coast swing against LeBron and the Lakers. Coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 o'clock Eastern. Still to come on NBA Today, Victor Wembanyama. That's it. That's all we need to say. Really, we don't need to say anymore because he's literally doing things that have never, ever been done. Ever, ever, ever. We're going to show you what those are next.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's check out today's smart play brought to you by Intuit Credit Karma. Victor Wembanyama led the Spurs to consecutive wins for only the fourth time this season, thanks to another dominant performance. The rookie, he finished with 31 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 blocks, becoming the first rookie with 25 points, 5 assists, 5 blocks in consecutive games since blocks became official since 73-74. It's safe to say he just keeps getting...
We should just call that the Wemby.
Yeah, that's at this point, the blocks, it's not a block anymore. Now, it's, statistically, it's called a Wemby. Since the start of February, Wemby has increased his assists, block shots, and three-point shooting, averaging a league-best 4.1 blocks per game in this time. He's also... Watch out, everybody, shooting 43% from three. So, Kendrick Perkins, I think it's time for a little, I know, it's incredible.
It's a high clip.
I think it's time for a word of the day. It's been a little bit on the tear Victor's been on. What you got?
Yeah, you ready for this one, Malika?
Never.
Yeah. What you got?
Incroyable. You know what that is? You know what that is? That's the French word for incredible. Incroyable. Yeah, the French word for incredible. And that's what he's been. That's what he's been over the past, you know, since the All-Star break. When I'm talking about dominating on both ends of the floor, he's been doing just that. And that matchup against Chet a couple of games ago where he dominated when they was back at home. Look, Victor Wembanyama is not only making the case for himself for us being the rookie of the year, that's for sure. But when it comes to leading the league in blocks, Malika, right now I got Rudy above him, and I know the Spurs stink defensively. But individually, what this young man is doing, God bless America.
Yeah, it really has been incroyable. He had a stretch.
That's actually how you say it.
In the third quarter. Well, I took French classes when Victor was coming into the league. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a couple of French classes. And there's a stretch in the third quarter, though. He had a three, a block, a steal, an assist, all within like a minute. Less than a minute. He's just showing that he's willing to do every single thing. You know this system. You know Greg Popovich. You won a title with the Spurs in 2014. How do you assess the way that he's fitting in with this group and the system?
He's doing, obviously, Pop is a genius at, I guess, bringing guys along and kind of, you know, he's the pro at load management. You know, he took him on minute restriction, trying to take him off a little bit, but he's helping him develop. But this system, this situation is a perfect situation for him to grow. You know, any other organization, I don't know if he'd be here. But I said, a lot of people expected great things. Some people thought he'd be Bol Bol. I think he's exceeded my expectations. And not, no disrespect to Bol Bol. He's a good player.
Bol Bol, we don't diss on this show. He's this one of Kendrick Perkins' favorite players.
Nothing short of, you know, amazing. For a rookie season, he's playing unbelievable. Incroyable, however you ever say it.
Good job.
But, so Pop has done an amazing job of keeping him, load management, bringing him along slowly and surely. But most rookies hit a wall. He's taking it up a notch and making statements. He's not only playing well and dominating his matches, but he's helping them win some games.
His usage rate for a rookie is just off the charts. He's getting a lot of reps as the number one guy. But like you said, it's not necessarily leading to winning. It is, though, I think it's a good time for these winning habits to be being built towards the end of his rookie season, because now the Spurs are getting a real idea of what they have and, frankly, what they don't have. They said they're going to be patient building around Victor, but Victor isn't that patient.
No.
I think the rest of the league has started to understand that now in the best way possible. So what does the timeline look like now?
I don't want to hear that word anymore.
Patience.
Timeline. Patience. Like, Damian Lillard, when he asked for a trade from Portland, had an interest in going to the Spurs, okay? He had an interest. There was a fascination with Wemby. Wemby hadn't hit the league yet, but there was a fascination with him, and there was a respect for Greg Popovich. And there was, but there was not really any traction on trading for Dame because Victor is so young, and they have a young team, and they want to see that develop. Victor's here. Victor is ready to win. And I know they have this idea that they're going to take 2-3 years and find the right core, and they're all going to be on the same timeline, but I don't know how patient he's going to be, because when I watch him play, that man is competitive. He wants to win. And how long do you give it, Malika? Year, two?
A year max.
Because I don't think he wants to sit here and be at the bottom of the lottery standings.
He may not be patient, but he won't have a choice, because it's really up to Pop and organization. He's going to have to wait. It's obviously his turn, but he's going to have to wait until they get the pieces they can get for him.
Well, there are players around the league who would love to play with him.
What's his face, Perk?
But, man, Victor don't have to be patient and wait on nothing. He's the greatest prospect ever. Look, for the first time, the pressure is on Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. They better get them pieces around him, man, because this kid is different. He's thinking different. He has an old soul. He's about winning now. He's not trying to lose.
For sure. But the maturity in him of learning from Tony and learning from everybody else is around him, David Robinson, is going to make him to embrace the patience, and he's going to have to.
I think he embraced the patience longer than he wanted to in terms of the process to get to where he is now and playing in longer stretches and doing all of that. I don't know about Pop feeling pressure, Perk. I don't know.
I don't think that's possible.
People put pressure on Pop, I don't think he's felt it for a very, very, very long time. But if anyone can make this organization move at a different pace than they were planning to, it's Victor. And I just don't see it lasting.
And I also think, like, how there's so few rookies in this league. Yep. There's so few young players in this league that have a gravitational pull where veteran players say, I want to play with that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I
think Victor's one of them.
I'm just keeping one little teeny bird's view on a certain southern city in Atlanta. Potentially, maybe we'll see sort of what happens there.
In the country.
Yeah, the busiest airport in the country. It's not the worst airport in the country. That's a different segment. It was a weekend to remember for both LeBron and Caitlin Clark. But whose record is more untouchable? Interesting. We're going to tell you next on NBA Today.
NBA Today is presented by Intuit Credit Karma. Everything you need to outsmart the system and reach your financial goals.
Well, at least it went out with a bang.
Bang! It went out with a bang!
Mike Breen?
You said bang. That's my line.
Well, I meant more of like an electrical fire bang.
Like this?
Bang!
No, like... Bang! 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 Bang!
That's a pretty good bang. But what are we going to do about this bang?
Oh, you don't need a catchphrase. You need a jingle. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm is here to help.
Bang!
He really went out with a bang.
The NBA on ESPN, presented by State Farm.
I'm somebody that has really big dreams and aspirations. Proud of the way I've worked for this more than anything.
Here's Clark. She fires and goes! She hit it!
To be on stages like this, I feel like I'm living in a dream.
3,000 career points!
Here comes Clark. How will she go for history? There it is! The all-time leading scorer in women's college basketball.
Another chart topper for Caitlin Clark, the all-time scoring leader in NCAA history.
I'm just happy to be a part of it and keep making history.
The only thing left for Clark is to win a national championship. But remember, she was close last season when she led Iowa to the championship game while averaging 32 points, 10 assists, shooting 43% from three. So we're going to keep this rolling with a round of this or that. You can get with this or you can get with that. And I'm going to give you two things that happened over the weekend, and you get to pick which one you like the best. Get it? Got it? Cool? Great. So, Ramona, this or that. Which scoring mark will last longer? Clark's NCAA record or LeBron James is the only player in the NBA with 40,000 points?
I am actually going to go with LeBron James's record because it just takes so much longevity. Plus, I think there are the women's game is growing leaps and bounds, and you're more incentivized to stay in school longer because the NIL deals.
Yeah, that is true, but Caitlin Clark was pretty impressive this weekend as well. This is Sophie's choice. All right, how about this? Danny, this or that? Brandon Ingram had 34 points in a win over the Pacers. Are you taking the circus shot, the layup, or his self alley-oop off the backboard right here?
I'm going with the self alley-oop because that's something I can't do. I think I could make a circus shot by accident. But off the backboard to yourself, catching a dunk is something that I've never been able to do, even in actually maybe once in high school.
This is a trend we're seeing. We've seen Anthony Edwards do it. Who else? Victor Wembanyama attempted to do it. It's only a matter of time before he does it. All right, Perk, this or that? Deuce McBride. He did this to Evan Mobley.
That's not nice to do to
him. Or Josh Hart grabbing Donovan Mitchell's chain after hitting a three here. He just said, you know what? I'm going to take that with me.
You know what? This one is hard, but I'm going to go with Josh Hart because not only did he grab his chain, but he had a monster triple-double. 19 rebounds.
Yeah.
Little big
after
man.
After Jalen Brunson went out grabbing the chain on this big corner three. That was huge.
All right, what about this? We got two very unique game winners, Danny. This or that? Western Michigan, the full court bounce pass winner.
Accident.
I mean, what was the other team doing?
Then we also have this Indiana high school ending in double overtime. Watch this.
Come on.
What? Which one you got?
I'm going to go with the double overtime win.
Yep.
The first one just looked like an accident. I mean, obviously, it's a great play, but it wasn't spectacular.
Yeah.
The other one, I think, was a little more spectacular.
That's the definition of on time, on target.
Yeah, this one was a little bit more difficult.
Falling out of bounds. I don't even know how they saw the play.
All right, we got one more. You're looking at Kawhi Leonard because the Clippers and Bucks, they face off for the first time this season. The Clippers are 5-1 to win the title. The Bucks are 7-1, according to ESPN Bet. Those are the best title odds for any team other than, you guessed it, Boston or Denver. So Kendrick Perkins, this or that? Who is the best chance to win the title out of the Clippers or the Milwaukee Bucks?
I'm going with the Clippers. I'm still standing on having one of the deepest team in the league. They have zero flaws when it comes to personnel. They don't need anything on the floor. They have shooting. They have playmaking. They have depth at the big position. They have a hell of a coach. So this Clipper team, that window, I know is going to extend a little bit probably this offseason for us PG and Kawhi, but they need to capitalize on this moment right now.
I'm with Perk on this one. I'd like the depth the Clippers have. I think Milwaukee needs a little bit more time with Doc as the head coach, and they do lack some size, once again, at that perimeter position defensively. I'm just not sold on it. But I do like the Clippers, what they have to bring. And if they get Russ back healthy soon enough, build that momentum they had before going to All-Star break, they're going to be a really good team.
I like the Clippers, too, but I don't like that they're in the Western Conference. You got to run that gauntlet of
See,
all
that's
those
why I liked them, because I feel like the Celtics are just so dominant. There's really no wiggle room.
But how many other teams does Milwaukee need to get through?
Excellent point, Ramona. This is why you're our senior rep.
Thank you so much for spending
some time with us here on NBA Today. Enjoy the games tonight. Queen Shanae is in for me tomorrow. We'll be on ESPN2. See you then.